Do you want to meet Andy Russell? Do you want to see a studio preview? Do you want to take a Hollywood tour?
Yes, the American Broadcasting Company presents Hollywood Tour, a program for the millions of Americans who would thrill to the drama of Hollywood if they could see behind the scenes. And here to tell you all about it is Hollywood's favorite man about town, Photoplay Magazine's ace news reporter, Cal York.
Well, greetings to all of you. Here in the most exclusive broadcast to originate in Hollywood, we're making it possible for many of our friends to realize the dream of a lifetime, to see movies in the making, visit homes of stars and the high spots of the town. Each day, we ask our guests a question, and the first two ladies who answer correctly are taken on a magic carpet tour of Hollywood. Today, the question is, name three popular motion picture stars whose last name is Scott. And if you at home don't know, and I'll bet you do, we'll give you the answers presently. Right now, I want you to meet the two lovely ladies who took our Hollywood tour yesterday. Mrs. Larry Graver, recently of New York. Where did you live in New York, Mrs. Graver?
In the Bronx.
Do anything fascinating there?
No, just sat around and waited to get married.
Seems a reasonable occupation. My second lady is Mrs. Curtis Jackson of Englewood. What do you do in Englewood, Mrs. Jackson?
We have a baby shop.
You do? Do you have any babies of your own, too?
Well, I have three of them.
Oh, then you know all about it, don't you? Shopping and babies. We've had Gail Patrick and Benny Barnes in our program talking about their baby shops. We're delighted to have you, Mrs. Jackson. Ladies, after our broadcast yesterday, you were on your way to the famous Brittingham's restaurant to have lunch with Lum and Abner, and Mrs. Jackson, didn't you find them completely natural and unassuming?
Oh, I just thought they were swell. They were so much down to earth and just like anyone else.
Well,
neighbor.
Tuffy Goff, who plays Abner, is particularly fond of his youngsters. Did he talk about that?
Oh, yes, he did, but I think I just out-talked him this time. I talked about mine, too.
How old is your oldest, Mrs. Jackson?
My oldest is 10.
And Tuffy's is what?
13.
Mm-hmm. So you were comparing notes on boys?
Yes, they're both boys, and we were discussing the fact they're so dreamy, and he said that that'll pass someday, but I don't know.
Gee, mine isn't dreamy yet. He may be a little backward. How about that Lumburger, Lum's invention that you had for lunch, Mrs. Graver?
Oh, I'm still trying to decide what it was made of.
What the Lumburger is made out of? I think that's a secret, but we might be able to describe what it looked like.
Well, when they brought it out on the plate, it really looked lovely, just like an Easter bonnet.
I've never sunk my teeth in an Easter bonnet.
Oh,
I'll have to have a Lumburger.
It looked very pretty, with a big black olive stuck on top.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how Lum would look with a big olive on it. Well, they're both grand guys, and after lunch, you were on your way to Universal International Studios to watch the filming of Jeopardy. And whom did you see there, Mrs. Graver?
Oh, we saw Ella Raines and Vincent Price.
Mm-hmm.
And
what were they doing when you saw them?
Well, they were rehearsing a scene in the library. I think she was his secretary. He was sending her on an errand. And not very much, but she looked very pretty.
Oh, I think she's lovely. And a secretary, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Tell me, Mrs. Jackson, what was your impression of Vincent Price?
Well, I was really very surprised. He was usually typed as a pretty nasty man, and he was so very congenial and very nice to us that I really was shocked.
Well, you know, I think that the audience sometimes gets the wrong impression of people from their roles on the screen, don't you?
I should
You
say.
Were honestly surprised then to find what a nice guy Vincent
Price
is?
Oh, I just thought he was very nice.
And we've known that all along. Well, now, what sort of part Ella plays a secretary, you say, in the picture of Mrs. Graver?
I think so.
How was she dressed? I know the ladies would like to know.
Oh, she wore a very pretty black sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice, tight-fitting skirt.
Just the thing for a secretary. Well, we'll be looking for Jeopardy. Well, back into Hollywood in time to see the Lum and Abner program. What was your keenest impression of Lum and Abner at work on their show, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, I thought they were just as casual as they could be. At 1 minute before the broadcast, they weren't anywhere in sight, and we were all getting very nervous. We didn't know whether we were going to make it or not, and just then they fell into place and at right on time, and they were very busy making their own sound effects, and I thought they were just like they were playing house or having a good time.
Well, may I say that you're both just as casual and natural here as Lum and Abner can be. Thank you very much for your reporting job and for being my guests. And before you go, for each of you, a box of these lovely flowers from the Broadway florist.
Thank you.
Ladies, if you'd like to join us here on Hollywood Tour, here's all you have to do. Simply send your name and address to Hollywood Tour, American Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28, California. Our guest list is limited to 50 ladies each day, so please be patient. If you can't be here in person, get in on the question game. Submit three questions on Hollywood, such as the ones used each day. And if Cal uses yours, you will receive the next 12 issues of Photoplay magazine. And now, Cal, what's going on today in Hollywood?
Well, Dresser, it's the Mickey Rooneys who have friends holding their breath. There is some indication that the divorce may be called off. Although studio assignments for Pev Marley continue to be on again, off again, Linda Darnell has not given up her plans for a second honeymoon. Michael North, teaching Audrey Totter how to drive, promises he will not yet turn her loose in traffic, even though I personally would consider it a real pleasure to be nudged by Audrey's bumper. A lovely little family scene took place at Enterprise the other day when Mitzi Green personally supervised the tinting of husband Joe Pevney's hair to the same reddish gold as her own. His blushing locks will make their first appearance in Body and Soul. Speaking of the body, Marie McDonald will have no trouble keeping it fed on that generous divorce settlement made by Vic Orsatti, too. Jean Arthur, who's been missing from the screen too long, will return as a congresswoman who sent over to Berlin to investigate the morals of the GIs over there. I'll be waiting to see if she improves them or upsets them. Director George Seaton, fed up with the airs assumed by one of the child actors in Miracle on 34th Street, finally exploded. Come here, you. I'm going to applaud you with one hand. Joan Bennett, scheduled for a bathing scene in secret beyond the door, had the Johnstone office cut the scene to a mere glimpse of her bare feet leaving the tub. And yet, in utter defiance, Jack Carson immerses himself in a bubble bath for two guys from Texas. Well, all things considered, this may not be a violation of the new anti-sexiness drive. It is certainly a much less justifiable waste of bubbles. Hedy Lamarr and husband John Loder will make love to each other publicly, but for 1 week only, when they keep a theater date in Salt Lake City during the Utah Centennial festivities. Peg Cummins took her British boyfriend, Ronald Millar, out for a roast beef dinner. He's returning to England soon, where red beef is currently just a memory. Date specialist Bentley Ryan, dining at the Bocage, had luscious Maggie Chapman for dessert. Exclusive, Mr. and Mrs. Andy Russell have secretly begun a series of recordings together under the team name Andy and Della. The first to be released soon is expected to do startling things. It's been said that when Andy sings Amor, couples head for the preacher before he's halfway through the second chorus. The insinuatingly romantic undertones in Andy's voice are undoubtedly deliberate, although he may deny this.
I don't deny a thing, Cal. How do you think I got Della to marry me?
Well, we've got an idea. Ladies, here he is, Della's fellow, better known as Andy Russell. Andy, I understand that troubadour's talent of yours is a heritage from the Spanish dons of early California.
It is? What do you know? Me, I was born in later California in one of the toughest neighborhoods in Los Angeles.
Well, just the same, I'll bet that madre and padre of yours hadn't forgotten any of the old romantic Spanish customs.
I guess not. When I arrived, Henry, Tommy, Eddie, Ralph, Bobby, Charles, Tony, Vera, and Jenny were all there before me.
We talk about Manny, Moe, and Jack. But maybe that mob scene you were raised in is the reason you handle kids so well today. Your Russell Sprouts have a reputation for being the best-behaved fan club in existence.
Well, I try to treat them right, Cal. I used to stand in line at theaters when I was a kid myself.
Mm-hmm. I'd say you were waiting for Crosby, but Bing might tell somebody my age, too. Who was your hero?
Ralph Robigo, my father. He was a movie extra, and believe me, the Robigo kids never missed a film that showed even the back of his ears on the screen. You know, there was one with Richard Barthelmess in which my dad rode into sight on a big black horse yelling, Vamanos!
Ah, speaking part.
Yeah, we sit through every show waiting for that Vamanos, and then we tear the house up.
Wonderful. There's a hint for all actors. Grow your own fan club. But what's your secret for controlling those rough autograph fans in New York, the ones that tear up the house and the actors, too?
Well, most people run from them, Cal, and I don't. You know, kids are like a horse. If he knows you're afraid of him, he'll take advantage of you and, I talk to all of them.
Mm-hmm. From an armored car, of course.
No. We let them in backstage 5 or 10 at a time. It's hard work, but I find it's paid off.
Ah, yes. The faith and confidence of youngsters is a fine thing. But, Andy, have you told them about Copacabana yet?
Why, I think it's a pretty good picture, Cal.
That's not what I mean, and you know it.
Those little love scenes with Carmen Miranda, all in the story, you know. I play a singer trying to get along.
And stopping at nothing, you might say.
Oh, and that Groucho Marx, he's the funniest fellow in the world, a really dyed-in-the-wool comedian.
Ah, did you say dyed-in-the-wool?
Oh, Cal, do I have to talk about that?
Somebody's got to explain it to those kids.
Well, all right, here goes. I done some singing parts seen three pictures before, and I didn't like myself in any one of them, and I wouldn't sing for the lead in Copacabana unless I liked the test. So they called in the experts.
And?
Well, first they decided I had too much hair, and they pulled out some. And decided I had too many teeth.
Uh-huh. The Yanks came, huh?
No, they let those stay in. See? Finally, they discovered that my hair being black made the teeth show up too white. They discussed bleaching it.
Ah, face worse than dying.
Oh, boy, they took me into a beauty shop and turned me out bright red. Kel, it was really awful. I sneaked home and hid out all weekend.
My heart bleeds for you, even though you're just a brownette now. Complete improvement, I hear on the screen. They tell me your wife stuck by you, though, through the whole thing.
Well, Kel, I've merely got the most wonderful wife in the world, believe me. And I think you're going to like those records we're making together. You know, Della was once a singing star at the Real Copacabana in New York.
I know. Incidentally, that home of yours, Casa Amor, is pretty wonderful, too.
We like it, and we started working on it 3 years before we were married, and now it's got just about everything we dreamed of, a pool, badminton, stables, tennis courts, movie theater. In fact, why don't you come on out?
Say, two of our lucky ladies are going to take you up on that this very afternoon.
Good.
If I didn't have a date to buy your latest recording, the anniversary song, I'd be with them.
Well, don't let me detain you.
I'll be sure to catch you on the hit parade, too, Andy. And thanks a lot, Andy Russell, for a swell.
Thank you.
And now the news that you've been waiting to hear. Who is going to tour Hollywood today? Before we went on the air, the ladies in our audience were asked a question, and here's the answer, as sent in by Mrs. Don Gilchrist of Venice, California. Name three popular motion picture stars whose last name is Scott. Lisbeth Scott, Randolph Scott, Zachary Scott, even throw in Martha Scott. Take your choice. The first two ladies who answered these questions correctly will step into a shining Tanner Gray Line limousine and be on their way to tea with Mr. and Mrs. Andy Russell at their Casa Amor and dinner at Shuggy's Tropics, noted for its exotic food and atmosphere. And tonight, a special showing of Sinbad the Sailor, the Technicolor extravaganza, featuring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Maureen O'Hara, to be shown on the RKO lot. But now it's time to announce the winners. I'll take my traveling mic and go out into the audience to congratulate the lucky ladies. My first winner is Mrs. Jack Wilder. Where are you, Mrs. Wilder? Stick up your mitt. Let me see. Oh, here you are over here. She's almost speechless. How are you, Mrs. Wilder?
Fine.
Have you ever seen Andy Russell's home?
No.
Have you ever seen a studio preview?
No.
Where you live?
Los Angeles.
Oh, I hope you speak a lot louder than that tomorrow, Mrs. Wilder, when we get together again. And my second winner is Mrs. Teresa Dwyer. Where are you, Mrs. Dwyer? Well, where are you from?
Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania.
Well, how long have you been in Hollywood?
Oh, since Thursday.
Have you seen anything exciting yet?
Yes, I have.
Good. What have you seen?
Well, I've seen the night spots.
The night spots? Well, you're going to see the day spots today and have a good time, too. And I know your ladies are going to have a really swell time. Be sure that you're back here tomorrow to tell us all about it. I'll be looking for you, and I'll be looking for you, too, Mrs. Housewife. Right now, I have a date with Lassie to read the new bestseller, My Eyes Have a Cold Nose. I'll see you tomorrow. So long.
We'll be looking for you again tomorrow when the American Broadcasting Company presents Hollywood Tour. If you'd like to attend the broadcast, address your request to Hollywood Tour, American Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28. If you've enjoyed hearing Cal York today, you'll enjoy reading his exciting column in the new issue of Photoplay magazine. Dresser Dahlstedt speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood.
Have you ever thought what an important role music has played in portraying the life and culture of a nation? Great music, I mean, such as the Boston Symphony Orchestra presents in its Tuesday night concerts over most ABC stations. There's the music of Chopin, for instance. Through his lovely polonaises, Chopin helped to glorify the colorful life of the Polish people. Then, of course, the life of the ancient Norsemen comes alive in the stirring, gripping Ring cycle of the immortal Wagner. As for present-day composers, you've probably all heard the famous symphonies of Shostakovich, which depict the life of his Russian countrymen during the past Great War. But one could go on and on with a countless list of composers who have recorded their country's history in music that will live forever. Music that everyone can enjoy each Tuesday evening when Serge Koussevitzky directs one of the world's finest orchestras, the Boston Symphony, in concert broadcasts heard over most of these same ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.